Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I am Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, September 30th. Yeah, wow. September 30th, 2014. And with me today, I have the always exciting Kelly Gaumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm well, Jeff, and happy National Podcast Day to you.
It's national. Every day is National Podcast Day for me.
Well, this one's national. It's not just Podcast Day for Jeff. This is Podcast Day for everybody.
Oh, well, happy National Podcast Day for everybody. That's kind of exciting. You'd think that would be something that I would have realized was happening today.
That's okay. You got a lot going on. I understand.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I wanted to take a look at this whole Elo thing and the social network stuff. And you did a little bit of digging into Elo.
I did.
And so I thought that you would be exactly the right person to discuss this with. And real quick for people that are like, are you trying to do a bad Cockney accent? No, I'm not. And you're welcome. Elo is a new social network service that looks a little bit like Twitter, but is designed to compete with Facebook, and they're promising to not give away our personal information.
And that was something that held a lot of appeal, particularly in light of something that Brian wrote yesterday about how Facebook is deploying something called Atlas, which I believe they bought from Microsoft, which is basically inching us closer to Skynet. They want to use it to be able to track advertising across devices. So if I'm at my laptop and I do, you know, a couple of searches looking for something that I want to buy or whatever, then when I'm on my phone, I can get the same targeted advertising. I'm so excited about this. So Elo doesn't want to do any of that. Elo isn't interested in your data for the purposes of selling that data to other companies. Now, a lot of people are poo-pooing it and declaring it over, primarily because they said, well, clearly they don't have any way to make money, so this isn't going to be a long-lasting thing. It's going to be temporary, and we're going to just give up on it now before it ever gets a chance to get off the ground.
Well, that's a positive approach to take.
I know. And so the thing to me that – there were two things to me that stood out about Elo in particular when I was doing the research on finding out what the deal was. And the first was that the founders of Elo, the people who built it, have not turned Elo into their full-time jobs. So it still says on their profiles on the site when you talk to when other people have interviewed them, it says that their jobs are the two main people have a design firm there in Boulder with you, Jeff. So maybe you'll see them out and about.
And I'll keep my eyes peeled.
Yeah. And so they it doesn't sound like they are intending to forsake the design firm in favor of Elo. Now, maybe if Elo gets bigger and more popular, it's going to turn into something that will take more of their time. But at least for right now, they're publicly saying they have no exit plan, which is something you hear a lot from people who build startups is, I had this good idea, and now that I've turned it into a company, I'm bored. And so all I'm going to do is sell it off and leave and go start a new thing because it's the starting that I like. It's not necessarily that I'm married to this idea.
You know, there's nothing inherently wrong with wanting to sell your company because you want to do something else.
Right.
But if that's your sole purpose for creating the company.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just like to start them and then I'm just going to dump it on somebody else and move on with my life. And that's not what the guys from Elo are doing. And people are concerned about it because they've accepted funding. So venture capital, I don't remember the name of the firm, but somebody wrote them a check. And in terms of venture capital, it was a small check because it was like $400,000. So for Elo, it seems like because these guys are doing this sort of on the side, it does seem to me as though this is something that's going to at least try to be around for a while. They're really trying to make a go of it. And their business model right now is premium features. So you want to manage multiple accounts, we'll make you pay for that. It sounds very similar to what a number of Twitter clients have done, where you know, you can get the client for free, but if you want to customize how it looks, if you want to add multiple accounts, if you want to you know, change font sizes and do even more than just post to Twitter from your Twitter client, those things will cost you a few extra, a few bucks.
Okay, this and sounds, it sounds a little like, bit like the app.net model as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, app.net is app.net is charging a yearly fee flat rate no matter what. So, if you want to be there, it's $35 a year, period. And what Elo is doing is right now it's invite only. And it is completely free. And this is the reason people are concerned about it making money, is because it doesn't cost you anything to sign up. And right now they are saying that their business model, the way they're talking about their business model, isn't very concrete. They're not saying, if you want to do this, it will cost you $5. If you want to do this, it will be $10. So people are sort of worried that the business model is a little nebulous. And because they've taken VC funding, they're worried that this is now going to make the social network itself beholden to the people who wrote the check to the company and wrote the check to Elo in the first place. And so far, neither of those things have happened. I'm happy to give it a chance. I'm there now. And as I know, you're there as well.
Yep.
And I'm excited to see how it goes. It doesn't have a limit on characters like Twitter does. Twitter's 140. There's no limit on how long a post can be. You can upload any kind of media or link to any kind of media that you like. You can, you know, you can put up pictures, you can post a video, whatever you want to do. And so far it seems pretty neat. It reminds me of the early days of a lot of social networks. It's not like I haven't had my share of usernames in other places.
I can't even keep track of all the networks that I've signed up for.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. And most of them aren't even around anymore. So, the thing that I think for me that made Elo appealing was, first of all, that they were very upfront about, we don't want your data. We want to find a way to have a social network where you are not the product. And then the second thing is that Facebook has started cracking down on real name profiles. Now, Facebook has come out and said that their stance is that they don't go investigate profiles unless there's a report, you know, of something like, this person isn't using their real name, or this person is doing something I don't like. And so then that profile will go get investigated. And Twitter specifically, they say they're only investigating when people report, but it seems like all of a sudden a bunch of drag queens had their pages shut down. So,
what's wrong with being a drag queen?
Well, there's nothing wrong with being a drag queen, but apparently if you are a drag queen who doesn't use the same name that you use in the rest of the world, you know, the name that's on your driver's license,
well,
then
that's a problem for drag queens, because most have a drag queen name.
Exactly. So, you know, if you're going to be who, what's the one that I always like to talk about? If you're going to, you know, if your drag name is Bertha Venation, that's.
I love drag queen names.
Which is a beautiful drag queen name. Like, in real life, if your name is Steve, then when people go to Facebook and go, I just went and saw an amazing drag show starring Bertha Venation, you're going to go to Facebook and search Bertha Venation. You're not going to go search for Steve.
Right.
So part of the problem is that now that page is shut because Facebook has decided that you need to use your real name. Now, what I want to know is if they're going to apply this to everybody, and they're going to close down Lady Gaga's Facebook page and make her be Stephanie Germanotta instead, which is her real name. Because that's who knows that except somebody like Kelly, who is really good on pub quiz teams.
And now all of our listeners.
Yeah. So I think there's – and, you know, this is just sort of the latest misstep from Facebook when it comes to things like privacy and, you know, user data and things like that. There's a reason that, like, I don't post pictures of myself on Facebook. There's a reason – I don't put a lot there that I think is necessarily particular valuable content. I link out to it from Facebook to other places where it actually lives, like my website, where I can set things up the way I want them and I own my content that way. And I know that Facebook isn't going to go be, you know, using my Doctor Who live blog or whatever as some sort of advertising material, because it's mine and it should stay mine. And so, Facebook doesn't seem to really understand that. And Facebook has for whatever reason, decided that this real name thing is something they're going to be total sticklers about, which is one of the things that killed, was it Friendster that started making people have real names?
Google was doing that too.
Well, Google Plus started that way, and then nobody would sign up, and then they eased back on it, and still nobody signed up. But
how about that?
I know, right? But I think it was, I want to say it was like Friendster or something that was forcing people to use real names and would delete your account if you didn't. So somebody would set up a page for a bar, and it would get pulled down. Because it wasn't somebody's real name. I would really like if people would at least, you know, if you get invited or if you find a way to finagle an invite, go check it out, go see what you think, and talk to people who are enthusiastic about social networking, and don't necessarily talk to the person who's only going to sit there and find flaws in it, because there's flaws in everything. I mean, the person that you're talking to could probably find the exact same flaws in Twitter or in Facebook. Because, you know, at this point, Twitter still hasn't found a way to make money, and that doesn't keep everybody from being there.
That's a good point. Yeah. All right. So I'm on Elo, you're on Elo. And yeah. Even though there's a lot of people that right now are kind of leery, and I understand why, because it's a new thing and they haven't proven themselves, I'm there. So if you want to find me and follow me, I will try and remember to post something every now and then. My Elo name is J Gamut, just like it is everywhere else.
And mine is Verso, just like it is everywhere else, including app.net, which everybody declared over, but I think is still a really great place to hang out.
I need to get better about posting to app.net. I'm very well aware of that. Yeah.
App.net is fun. And do give it a chance. It's one of those things where it's new. People don't have a habit of going there yet. There are no apps for it right now. So, you know, you have to save a bookmark to your phone if you want to, you know, on the home screen of your phone, if you want to be able to post there regularly. There's not really a way yet because there's no iOS apps or Android apps or anything else. You just have to load up a web page in order to get to go see everything. On the other hand, it does work really well on mobile because it's very stripped down. It's not fancy. You're not waiting for a bunch of crap to load.
Yeah, it is pretty responsive. So that's cool.
So it's pretty perky when you're trying to hit it on your phone. And it's nice because, you know, it's new. So there's like, you know, the people that you follow pretty regularly, other places are probably there. And you can, you know, but again, it's new, so not everybody's in the habit of going there every day and checking it out and posting and stuff. So as it continues to not go away and settles in, I think it's just going to get more interesting. Like from here, it can really only go up, and I hope that it does. I would like for people to have a viable alternative to Facebook.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. All right, so we only have like 2 minutes left.
Okay, we'll talk really fast.
Of course we will, because that's how we roll. Another thing I wanted to talk about today, which is the other reason why I wanted you here, we're both kind of really getting excited about the extensions for iOS 8.
I'm so excited. I can't wait for RAM Doubler.
Oh my God, yes. Yeah. That's going to be the best.
I know.
Yeah, and when so I can awesome. Finally get Suitcase 1.2 for
right?
Yeah, that's going to be awesome too. And there's like three people out there right now that are going, oh my God, flashback. and for the rest of you,
and for those people, okay. I'm sorry, because you're probably going to spend the rest of the day curled up under your desk crying over troubleshooting extensions. But for everybody else, just nod and smile. We'll move on in a second.
That's right. Okay, so the extensions that I'm starting to get really excited about are photo related.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought we could share something we have found so that people can go and try it out themselves and get an idea of what's out there.
Yeah. Well, Well, let's start with, why don't you tell us what you mean by extensions?
Oh, that's a really good
place who are playing
to start.
Along at home.
Okay, so the deal is that with iOS 8, Apple created this extension format, which allows developers to extend their functionality into other applications. And the big example is Apple's Photos app. So developers can take their camera apps and their image editing apps and push those features into the Photos app so that you can use their filters and editing tools directly in Photos and not have to jump between applications. The big bonus of that is that instead of having to make multiple copies of an image so that it can be worked on in each application, you now have one file that you can work with in one application and use all of these features that previously were segregated out into other apps. And there you go.
And it's super cool. If you want to see that whether or not you have any available to you right now, what you can do is go to Notification Center. And within Notification Center, if you scroll it all the way down to the bottom on the page that says on notifications, not on today, but on notifications, if you scroll all the way down, you'll have an edit button. And the edit button will show you the extensions that are available to you within Notification Center for anything that you currently have installed. You have to install something in order to get the corresponding extension within Notification Center for this. So that's the first place to check.
The second place to check would be in the Photos app.
Yeah.
And so when you go to edit an image, you'll have your three little edit buttons at the bottom of the window. Mm-hmm. If there are applications that offer extensions for Photos, you'll now get a fourth little button. It's a circle with an ellipsis inside. And when you tap that, you can then add in or enable those applications inside Photos so that you can use the filters there.
And there's, you'll see these in Safari. You'll see a more button, and you'll have other options in order to enable some of these things. We've written up how to enable them in Safari and
how to enable them in Photos.
And how to enable them in Photos. And so, and I just told you how to do it in Notification Center so that you have other things besides, you know, replying to a text message from the lock screen, which is awesome. But there's other stuff that you can add there as well. So like the New York Times has an extension for Notification Center that's pretty nifty. And then I sent you a photo one.
Yes, tell me about
yesterday
that.
That was very cool. And then also the other one I wanted to point out was that yesterday John wrote up science ones.
Yes.
Some science extensions that are pretty nifty. So let's see. I'm trying to find the name of the one that I sent you, and I can't find it.
I believe it was Photo Investigator.
Photo Investigator. Right? Yeah, that seems about right. And Photo Investigator is nifty because it lets you see a truckload of metadata about your photo right within, like, kind of within Photos. So
what I found, because I started playing mm-hmm. with it,
yeah,
is that it works outside of Photos. So
oh,
in all the
Photos.
Other applications, and that's part of what made this so cool, is that all of a sudden
yeah.
that metadata was available everywhere else.
Because it's been there.
Right. And you,
this
just,
whole time.
You just had no way of seeing it.
Right. And this is an easy way to get there. So if you need to know what the resolution of the photo is, if you need to know the file size, if you want to know where it was taken, those are all things that are available to you as part of the metadata. And you can see it. It's not just something that is only available to you if you copy the photo to your computer and then open it up in some sort of program and then view the information panel for the photo within that app, whether it's iPhoto or Lightroom or Aperture or whatever it is that you use. It used to be that you had to go through all this gyration in order to get to see any of this metadata, and now you don't have to do any of that anymore. You can get it here. Now, you found another one that does it all within Photos, right?
Yes, I did. And that one is called Metapho.
Okay.
Metapho. And it does the same thing. It lets you see all the metadata for an image, where it was taken, your camera settings, what type of camera was used, all of that. And I discovered both of these. They're free. I discovered both of them have an in-app purchase that allows you to enable a feature that can delete metadata out of images. So if you have a photograph that is at a specific location where, for whatever reason, it would be inappropriate for people to know, then you can strip that metadata out right on your iPhone.
Yeah. Here's an awesome picture of what I made for lunch, but I made it at my house.
My kitchen is, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So,
yeah, like that picture I posted yesterday, fried green tomatoes. It would be nice. So if I was going to post that somewhere, I would want that not to happen. I think right now, my favorite extension is a Notification Center extension, and it's Evernote, because it makes it even faster for me to be able to enter stuff into Evernote. And I put stuff in Evernote all the live long day.
Oh, that's really cool. Yep. And I'm loving having OmniFocus as an extension in Notification Center, because now I can actually see my task list as opposed to Apple's task list, and I can manage what's happening without even having to jump into the app. So that's really cool.
Which is awesome. Yes. And particularly if you are somebody who, for example, spends a lot of time in OmniFocus, because you live in your phone and you need to not just enter but also retrieve information, you have all of that right there in front of you. It's very, very handy to view.
It is. It's wonderful. And we're so out of time.
I know.
Yeah. So we're going to have to wrap up. Kelly, thank you so much for joining me today. It's always wonderful to get to chit-chat with you, and even more so when we get to record it and share it with other people.
And it's always lovely to be invited here.